صلوات. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Welcome to our digital depression Q&A and discussion with Sayyid Asad Jafri. Tonight's program is going to run slightly differently to normal Q&As. The way it's going to work is we're going to have people passing around cue cards and pens, and some of you may have them already. And we're going to ask that you write the question down if you have a question, or if you think of a question throughout the program and throughout, you know, the discussion. You write it down, and we'll have a runner coming to get the question and bring it up to the front. So I'm just going to ask that you use the paper and pens, and you should look around, and you'll be able to find somebody in your section that does have a paper and pen. Make sure the question is on topic as best as you can. And again, the topic is digital depression, the negative consequences that come with social media. So my name is Ali Reza Jafar. I'm here on behalf of the Jafri Support Services. Just a little bit about the Jafri Support Services. The Jafri Support Services, or JSS, is a subcommittee of the ISIJ of Toronto, and they're committed to enhancing the social fabric of our community through educational workshops and professional counseling services. JSS is made up of professionally trained counselors, psychotherapists, and volunteers committed to helping individuals and families dealing with domestic issues, matrimonial issues, substance use, child services, physical and sexual issues. We also have a dedicated team who focuses on educational services through workshops and seminars on topics such as children, educational, schooling, adjustment issues, birds and bees seminars, stress management, and marriage prep workshops. We are here to help you, the community, so please contact us if you feel you would benefit from our services, and remember that we keep all information strictly confidential. I'm going to pass the mic on to Sayyid Asad Jafri, and he's going to briefly talk about the topic tonight.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين وهو خير ناصر ومعين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين صلاة على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First of all, let me express my appreciation and gratitude to the JSS team for putting on this program. I think it's one of the most important discussions that we can have in this day and age, and I think that if I can briefly just kind of mention the idea of how blessed this community should feel to have a team like the support services that all of you have that bring you services like the interpreter, let's say, during my speech, or counseling and therapy for a young individual, for any individual, at a professional and confidential level. Even though I'm from this city, I'm not from this community per se, and I can tell you that many of us who perhaps aren't part of the community, quote unquote, we sometimes envy the amount of services that are offered in this community. And I know sometimes that those of you who are regulars here, who are part of this JCC community, it's natural sometimes to take things for granted. And as an outsider, quote unquote, I just want all of you to realize that you have an amazing team, an amazing amount of services that are there to support you during a very difficult and stressful time in your life. So support them, help them out, attend their programs, appreciate them once in a while, but most importantly, use them. They're here for you, they are professionals, they're not like me, they're actually well-read in this topic, and so it is important. So for the tawfiq of that team and for their success, please recite one loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This is a massive topic, and one that requires 10 days, really, to dissect it and to break it down. Anytime you want to talk about a tool that's used today that's as common as social media, there's a lot of prerequisite discussions that have to happen. And to do it within 20 minutes max, which I promise you I'll be done in, is very difficult. I will touch on a couple of things as to why and how it's possible that an overusage of the negative aspect of social media could and sometimes does lead, of course, to depression. We live in a generation where mental health, of course, is a big issue, an issue that sometimes is a tad taboo in our communities, only because, as I mentioned in one of my speeches, it's fairly new to, of course, our elders and their generation, who just kind of powered through distress or perhaps didn't live in an era of the digital era like we live in today, where everything is glamorized, everything is public, everything is kind of known by everybody else. And so it's important that we kind of tread these waters together and figure out the best solution together. So if that means that today's millennial opens up and says, look, we need this from all of you, and we step up and offer that, then so be it. But programs like these during these crucial 10 days where a lot of you are here is a beautiful step to take. Now, let me get a couple of statements out of the way, just so all of you are on the same page as me. I am not anti-social media, obviously. I'm on social media. Like any other tool, there is a negative aspect to it and a positive side to it. The positive that I see a lot of you using it for is, of course, iblaghi-deen, to propagate the deen, to propagate the message. You're able, let's say, to share small clips or small traditions or inspiring stories or events that are happening across the city within a matter of seconds. You're able, of course, to keep up with family across the ocean, which normally wouldn't happen. Sometimes you discover family that you didn't know, a lost cousin or a cousin that you never knew growing up, but now through Facebook and social media, et cetera, you, of course, have built those silat rahim ties, which, of course, is a very Islamic concept. But on the other side, of course, there is this cloud over social media. And the use of it is sometimes you have to stop and ponder what's the purpose and the usage of this tool to begin with. Because there's a purpose behind it. We can't be so naive to think, look, Sayyid Asad, this is a glass, and the glass is a tool. If that person uses that glass to drink alcohol or water, that's up to them. You can't blame the tool, blame the person using the tool. That's true to some extent. But we can't be so naive to think that all tools are generic. There isn't a specific reason for that tool. Social media has its negative consequences as well. And one of them is that we live right now in a very depressing, anxiety-filled generation. And I talked about multiple lives in my speech a few days ago, which really resonated with a lot of you. I got a lot of phone calls about the topic of multiple lives and the idea that sometimes we do on social media, we absolutely live a separate life altogether. But the question is, what's that connection between depression and social media? And I'm not an expert on either topic, but I will want to kind of present to you a little bit of the Islamic approach very briefly, and then of course I'll open up the questions. I want to speak a little bit tonight, inshallah, all of you are with me. It's a very crucial discussion on the topic of validation. I believe, just in my experience and my readings, that the fundamental problem that we have, why there is an increase of social media users, parallel with an increase of depression, is because of the concept of validation. And the premise is that we search for validation from sources that never truly will validate us, and refuse to search for validation from sources that will absolutely validate us. When I say validate us, I mean everything, from the way I live, to the way I look, to my habits, to everything that I do. Everything in this day and age has to be stamped with approval. And I get that. I understand the idea that I want to make sure that what I'm doing is accepted and accurate. But the problem is, who's stamping that approval? And sometimes we are in search of validation and approval from those people that never will truly give it. Or if they give it today, they won't give it tomorrow. So imagine now an individual, a young 16, 17-year-old, who now, let's say, posts something very personal up there, a trip, a picture, let's say, for example, a new haircut, for example, a new outfit, for example, and they post that picture for the world to see, and they wait for what? They wait for validation. They wait for the comments. They wait for someone to say, wow, you look amazing. You are so beautiful. That's an amazing outfit, right? And every emoji that has every heart possible is all plastered all over your comment section. And that's our validation. And you're like, okay, I'm good to go. But in that time where those comments aren't there, we're kind of fidgety. How come nobody has commented yet? Does that mean the picture I took was ugly of me? Was it not accepted by others? Was it not this? And eventually what ends up happening is that we take our self-worth and we place it in the hands of others. And we allow them to dictate to me how worthy I am to myself. We do it subconsciously, but we do it nonetheless. Imagine the process, you know, it's comical, but, you know, stay with me. Imagine taking 20 selfies and going through them and picking the one that you think is the best angle. You know, my nose looks small in this angle. My eyebrows look good in this angle. My beard looks sick in this angle. Let me go ahead and post this as my profile picture. And now the big announcement is that Asa Jaffrey changed his profile pic. And you're like, OMG. Let's see what the profile pic is all about. And meanwhile, Asa Jaffrey is waiting to see, oh my God, I hope they like it, hope they like it, hope they like it. Because out of 20, this was the best one. The whole process is filled with narcissism. It's filled with the ego. But here you are now taking every bit of your life and plastering it publicly, glamorizing everything that you do with the hopes of what somebody, what, accepting it. And we've mastered the concept of presenting and packaging our life to be flawless. And sometimes the more we present it to be flawless, the more full of flaws it is in reality. And we end up attempting to plug holes inside of us through our social media personality, through that life of ours. And eventually reality kicks in, guys. Eventually it says, wait a second, you're not who you are on social media. That's not how you look in real life. That's just an amazing iPhone 8 camera. That's amazing lighting. That's that portrait option on your camera. And then when that sinks in, the first thing that gets attacked is your self-worth. Because why? You're searching for validation for person A, person B, person C, when really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already validated you. He's already said, وَلَقَدْ كَرَمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We've honored the human being. We elevated you. I made you my khalifa. I made you my representative. I went to the mountains, they said no. I went to the animals, they said no. I went to every existence. Can you take on this responsibility? Everyone said no, no, no. The human said, I'll take it on. Allah says, fine. I made Adam. And then what I did is I took every other existence, God says, and I said, oh, by the way, this Adam is my best creation, inside and out. So good that out of ta'zim, out of respect, and out of, for me, bow down to this Adam. And the angels complained and everybody went crazy. Oh my God, how could you? What's going on? What's happening? All of that. Up there in a world way before us, Allah did what? Allah defended us, validated us. You don't know about this human what I know. You don't know about the greatness of a 16-year-old who does sujood surrounded by shayateen upon shayateen like I do. That's our stamp of approval. But yet we still search for the approval from other individuals. And that's the depressing part. The entire process is riddled with depression. Imagine waiting for someone to say yes to your lifestyle and nobody does. You question everything about yourself. So when you hear these horror stories, sometimes about suicide based on cyberbullying, That's not a joke. It's real. Because we've allowed others to validate us, others to tell us how worthy we are. The Quran says, وَلِلَّهِ لِعِزَّةُ. Please, very carefully. عزت, respect, is the exclusive property of Allah. The lam in front of Allah, لِلَّهِ, means it's only for Allah. Nobody else in this universe deserves respect. If we have respect, if we have some sort of respect from our family, the community, our friends, all that respect comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So leave that respect to Him. You don't need to attempt to force respect down people's throats by doing something good and taking a selfie with it and then plaster said, look where I was, look what I'm doing. And we always have to understand that, you know, it's a statement that I'll use later on in my speech, but it'll fit here because right now all of you are quiet and listening to me. It's a statement that I really want you to digest and make it a billboard for your life. And that is that, look, in this discussion on validation, it's not who you are, guys. It's whose you are. It's not who you are. It's whose you are. You are a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. If nobody has your back, Allah says, I will surely defend those who have iman. I will defend those who have iman. He's sending Nabi Musa to his nation to go teach them and preach them. If you're scared, don't worry. Innani ma'akum. I am with you, Musa. Why do you need to go? Why do you need to fear? He's telling the prophet, go on Ghadir and what? Announce, and don't worry about the people. I'll protect you from the people. All that is what? It's validation. It's respect. It's izzat. It's validation that we're searching for person A, B, and C from. You don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. You don't need to numb the issues in your life by presenting a fake image of our life on social media. There's a lot of issues here that need to be understood. It reminds me of a tradition in the Holy Prophet's time. He was sitting with his companions, and he began, of course, to talk about the idea that, you know, there'll come a time where people will sin. And back then, the idea of sinning, of course, was a shock. They couldn't believe it. And then the Prophet says, there'll come a time where your women and your children will sin more than you will. And they'll say, Ya Rasulullah, is that even possible? Yes, it is. And then he goes to the ultimate level. There'll come a time when what was virtuous yesterday is vicious today, vicious yesterday, virtuous today. What was ma'aruf becomes munkar, munkar becomes ma'aruf. We live in an era of the glamorization of our sins. Sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing it. And so, yes, that has to play with our psyche. That not only should we not have been there, but the fact that we took a picture and put it on social media for the world to see is a whole different game altogether. And eventually, when the innate nature kicks in and our connection to Allah is reestablished, the power of guilt takes over. And you end up banging your head. I can't believe I posted that picture on social media. I can't believe I retweeted that, or that was my Snapchat, or that's my IG account. All of these things. Because we're different people on social media. Don't search for validation when you've already been validated by your Creator. You don't need that. You don't need it. Now the problem is also that we live in an era of consumerism, of branding. Right? You're no longer a person, you're a brand. There are people in this world, in the US, let's say, in the Hollywood circles, that get paid millions of dollars just to attend a party. Can you please attend my party so I can say that you were at my party? So they arrive as themselves and they get paid a good amount of money just for being themselves. They're a brand. So you now become a brand. So everything you do is what? Is marketing your brand. Everything you do. From eating an apple, to having breakfast, to waking up, to changing your brother's diaper, to going to the gym, to writing the exam. I have to hear about all of that. You wake me up at 3 a.m. to tell me that you can't sleep. I was sleeping. I have to hear all about it. Because you're a brand. And the reaction is instant. And I'll end with this, and then we'll open the floor for questions. And I'm jumping between 1,000 huge topics because that's all the time I have. The last point I want to make, remember, validation number one, and respect number two. Leave it in the hands of your creator. He's a lot easier to please than the person beside you. With all due respect, the person tomorrow says, oh, I love you, is the person who will say, I hate her next week. The person who will sit there and give you all the respect in the world will become your biggest enemy tomorrow. That's just the reality of the insan. We flip, we flop. We flip, we flop. But Allah is ya sariyar. He's easily pleased. Now with that pleasing comes what? Allah says, look, when you tread my path, I will what? I will make you respected amongst the people. The ayat says, Allah then gives that respect as he deems and wills to the Prophet and of course to the believers. Let him do his process. You don't need to interfere. You don't need to force that respect from people. But the problem is that, look, Asad Bhai, that's all great. I get that. But, you know, God's respect, we don't really see that right away. It's not instant. But people's respect is right away. I get a comment on my picture right in front of me. There's that validation. And it goes back to the idea of instant gratification and delayed gratification, right? I said we live in a very consumerism era, right? Everything is a consumer. We're a customer. We're buying things online, right? We go to Amazon. We click. And we also customize, remove this, add this. Everything is at our whim. We're the master. Amazon is the slave. Whatever you want, as long as your credit card goes through, we're good to go, right? And if you have Amazon Prime, then dude, next morning it's at your doorstep. Are you kidding me? If you don't have Prime, then you borrow someone's ID and password because you're cheap. That's what you do. So now you want, and, you know, you're in your pajamas and you're clicking and it comes to your door. What better do you want? That's instant, right? We apply that consumerism to our deen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the disconnect. Allah's system is delayed, but it's a firm system that won't flip and flop. So invest in that company that you know will always succeed as opposed to that company that tomorrow might fall bankrupt. It's not who you are, it's whose you are. Have some respect at the fact that you are God's creation. He gave you life, he gave you light. Cheap plug. Give you life, he gave you light. Use social media for good. There's amazing good in it. But be careful. It can sometimes turn you into a person that's unrecognizable. And add one more life to your list, inshallah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect us, inshallah, in this era where everything is glamorized and publicized. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to allow us to get, let our respect be dealt with by you. Let our validation of ourself be dealt with by you. I don't need a person who's fallible and who's sensitive and who's moody to validate me. I'll leave that up to you, inshallah. And finally, Allah, everything that we do, every discussion that we do, every post that we make on social media, we do it, inshallah, with the intention of what? Of being there when the imam of our time comes, inshallah. Okay? The floor is open for questions, inshallah. Thank you.
What? So, as I said before, the way that we're doing the questions is we want you guys to write them down on the paper that's been passed around. Once you've written your question, if you could just raise it in the air, and there should be somebody coming around to grab the questions off of you, and then we will bring them to the front. So we'll give you everybody a minute or two to just finish writing some questions. We'll try and bring them to the front, so if you have anything you want to ask. And also, if you have anything you think about asking or you come up with an idea as the program goes on, feel free to write it down. And again, lift it above your head so somebody can come around to collect it.
I just make a point here, if you don't mind, very quickly about these questions. It's a very large crowd tonight, and there are various ages of people in this crowd. I've asked for the questions to be filtered, I hope you don't mind, only because not every question is appropriate for every gathering. I'd like it if you guys gave me the freedom to pick and choose what questions to answer. So if you ask a question and you write a question and it didn't get answered, then there's reasons for that. And if you need your answer, you can contact me privately. I had at that moment decided that it's not the best question for this group. That's all it was, okay? So just keep that in mind. Thank you. And let's please stay on topic, if you don't mind. Otherwise, we'll be here all night. Thank you. So I'm going to begin, if you don't mind. I have a few very good questions. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salams, posting pictures of your trip, your family, etc. on Facebook or as a display picture on WhatsApp, would this be considered as showing off and considered haram since their platforms are public and there might be people who do not have those luxuries? That's a beautiful question. It's a beautiful question. Now, whether or not it's showing off or not, that's up to your intention, right? Sometimes you just want to kind of, you know, share a picture you had of a sunset or an image of a bird or something that you had during your trip. That's fine. But I love the point that whoever asked this question at the end, that because there are others who don't have the same luxury. So yes, I'll ask you to be a little bit considerate. And you might think, you know, why do I need to worry about somebody else? Because we're a family. We're a nation. We're an ummah. We should worry about somebody else, right? So yes, before, you know, you plaster your eighth vacation of the year pictures up there, stop and think maybe someone else doesn't have the luxury to go, let's say, to where I went. And your intention isn't to show off, but maybe you can stop and think to yourself that I don't want someone to think to themselves by looking at my picture that, you know what, I'll never be able to go there or have this or do this, whatever she's doing or he is doing. Now, a lot of you might think, look, I can't control what people might think. You're right. But just be a little bit cautious of the idea. Is it possible that I'm displaying a life of luxury to people that I know can't afford the same lifestyle? Because I don't want to add to the depression that, you know what, I'll never get to this stage. We can be very, very careful about that. Otherwise, I get it. A WhatsApp profile pitch, a picture, or your trip to, let's say, Pakistan or to Hajj, for example, that, of course, is fine. If you're doing it with the intention of showing off, then, of course, don't do that. But let's be a little bit cautious and think a little bit beyond ourselves to think maybe these pictures are a little overkill. One or two is good. Maybe I don't need to show them every day of my 9-day cruise, let's say, through Europe. Maybe I can calm that down because others may not be able to afford such a luxurious cruise, okay? I'm going fast because there's going to be lots coming. Why do people want others to give them compliments and validation? How does one divert their mind away from the depressing, addicting social media usage for time-wasting purposes? Again, great questions. Why do people want comments and validation? Because we have enough inside of us. We have what's called the ujb inside of us. We have a narcissistic, self-loving, self-admiring beast inside of us that wants to be fed. Right? And Imam Ali says that beast has to be tamed. It can either tame you can tame it. It's up to you. But remember, the more you feed that beast, the bigger it gets. The bigger it gets, the more difficult it becomes to conquer. Right? You ever see those people who are very small trying to walk their massive dog? You're not sure who's walking who after a while. She's getting dragged through the park, Bachadi. Right? So when you have the beast inside of you, and there is a beast, there's an animalistic dimension inside of us called the nafse amara that is there to say labayk to shaitan. That's there to make your nafs your god for you. And this jihad akbar, this major jihad, is the war of the self, is against this entity inside of you. Now, compliments does what? Compliments feeds that. And that's a feel-good process. We feel great when someone says, wow, amazing. You look amazing. It feels good. We want more of it. That's the jihad. That's the struggle that you want to go through. Now, how can we divert from being addictive? We have to come up with alternatives. right? We have to, you know, make sure that we, you know, police ourselves and schedule ourselves. And if that means that you resort, let's say going back to reading or getting involved in a community or being involved in this and that, where you don't find yourself with idle time buried in your phone, then so be it. If that means that you only climb into bed when you're exhausted, otherwise, you know, that light will keep you up all night, then so be it. Right? But you can distract yourself and you can what? You can replace that social media time with other, for example, community services, with other activities if you like, inshallah. Please.
If I could just ask the men's side to move forward a bit, there are people sitting in the hallway, and just so if we could accommodate everybody's seating, just if you can, please just move forward and make some space.
I have a question here that it's not an easy question to answer, but as a responsibility, I have to answer it. I think it's important that I answer it, but, you know, let's see what happens. Can you briefly describe how the concept of hijab applies to social media, especially as people post pictures and videos of intimate settings such as weddings? Yeah. Okay. Since we're so close now after 1 week of lectures, let's be open about this. It's just us, right, inshallah, and a live stream going globally, apparently. I don't believe in this community, in this city, where there is a lot of awareness and constant scholars coming in and out of this society, sorry, this city, that people don't know the fiqhi shari'i, legal rulings of hijab. I think everybody knows that the hijab for men is this same modesty I talked about last night, the same idea of, you know, living a modest life, watching where your eyes go, giving a non-mahram her space, definitely not getting too close, all those things are there. And of course, there's a physical element to our sisters as well that they're fully aware of, okay? Covering the hair, of course, the Quran says, except for those things that are quote-unquote apparent. And tafsir says that those things that are apparent, that you should cover your face and leave only the area that you do wudu on exposed. So from the hairline, of course, and all the way to the chin, has to be open. Everything else has to be covered. And of course, up until the wrist and up until the feet as well. Socks, of course, are there as well. So hands can be open, and of course, the face can be open. Assuming there's nothing on your face. Assuming there's nothing on your hands, like henna or mehndi. Okay? So that is what quote-unquote hijab is, the physical hijab. Right? Not to mention, of course, the fact that, you know, loose clothing, not form-fitting hijab, we believe sometimes. And I talk about the physical hijab because it's a physical hijab question. Now, you take pictures of yourself at weddings, and all those things are there. Sayyid, I'm completely covered. I'm in hijab. I'm up until the wrist. Everything is fine. I have sleeves on. It's all great. The problem is that the outfit you're wearing and the makeup you have on now make you haram to look at by a non-mahram. That's hijab's rulings. All of you know those rulings. Okay? So, obviously, to post a picture of yourself at a wedding, or a selfie of you and your friends at a wedding, where, of course, you know, you are dressed up a little bit extra, to post that on a public forum for non-mahram eyes, it's not allowed. It's not allowed. Now, you'll say, oh, what about private settings? It's only me and those who are mahram. It's only me and my girl cousins. It's only me and this and that. That's up to you. But know one thing for sure, that nothing online is truly private. So why take that chance to begin with, if you're serious about hijab? As men, I ask you, if you are scrolling through social media and you come across some pictures, please, you exercise your hijab and don't look at it. And move on and control your eyes. Right? Don't tell me that, oh, okay, you know, well, it's there to look at, I should look at it. No, you shouldn't. That's your hijab, that's your battle. As it is, you know, the whole premise and concept of hijab, and again, you know, I say this as a responsibility. It's not my topic, and somebody asked a question, I have to answer it. Is that the idea is that, you know, you look at the sunnah and the seerah and the customs of the women of the Ahlul Bayt, for example, and they did their level best to only make themselves visible when they had to. So in this day and age, obviously work and school, all that, you're visible, you have to be visible. But when you choose to be visible beyond that to others, that's a choice that you have to be a little bit cautious about. And I'm really being cautious with my words. Because after yesterday's talk, I really, you know, I got this side of the room on my side. So yeah, you bashed them, man. Yes, go. And today, I'm going to lose them again. But this is a reality, I'm sorry. Okay? We don't need to make ourselves visible. And there's reasons beyond the scope of my discussion that, of course, should be obvious to all of you. Okay? So that's enough to answer the question. Anything else, you can, in fact, you can ask me later, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. Hijabi fashion is a massive phenomenon of this decade. I'm talking Instagram influences specifically, and we perhaps don't realize that by beautifying hijab, we are inherently going against the purpose of hijab, which is to deflect rather than to attract. So I think the answer is already in the question. There is a fine balance and a discussion on the idea of the iblagh of the deen, the propagation of hijab, or the integration of hijab into society, like in our athletes, in Nike stores, on runways. We believe sometimes that that is the integration of hijab into society, because we need to integrate into society. And while I agree with the integration process, I don't think that having a fashion model walk down a runway in hijab is integration. I believe, like whoever wrote this question very beautifully, it goes inherently against the hijabi concept. Now, is it a source of pride, let's say, for example, that you have hijabi athletes who are following, let's say, the hijab fashion, quote-unquote, or the hijab sharia or the fiqh? Yes, to a certain degree, that's some tabligh. Provided, of course, that the other aspects of hijab are followed. Right? That she's looked at by means of the respect of her abilities and not the respect of her look, for example. But that's all based on how it's being used, how it's being advertised, right? So it's a case by case. On one side, I agree that perhaps a little bit of integration in the idea that we can begin to accept, quote unquote, the hijabi, but not to a certain degree now, where of course now she becomes public on a runway for the entire world to look at. There has to be a limit after a while, okay? And I'll leave that at that, inshallah. Who's there? So can you touch on self-harm? I know that harming oneself is haram, but it is an addicting habit. I have looked for alternative coping methods, but haven't found one yet. Sometimes social media can be a trigger, sometimes not. Seeing engagement announcements is an example of a trigger for self-harm. Yeah. I mean, this is a little bit outside my scope. I would refer to the JSS and, of course, the people who are counselors in this field. Self-harm, obviously, of course, is haram, as you know. But if an announcement of an engagement causes you to harm yourself, then there's something, of course, inherently that's deeply rooted that is wrong and has to be addressed. So that's when I will really kind of, you know, push the idea that you have those services available in this community. Use them. 100% confidentiality, of course. professionally and, of course, spiritually. Both of them are available at your service. You don't need to fight this fight alone, right? You definitely need help. We all need help in this process, so let's lean on each other, right? It's not, you know, it's not a normal reaction that when you hear somebody announce that I'm engaged or that I'm getting married, for you to go and you to inflict pain on yourself, right? Either that means that you don't think you're worthy to ever have that announcement yourself, or perhaps there are other issues. Whatever the case may be, that's a trigger for you to go and seek some help. And like I said, you know, there are services available here that you should, of course, tap into, inshallah. Can you recite one last salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please? Sorry, give me one moment here. I'm sorry.
Just in the meantime, I just wanted to remind everybody that if you do have questions that weren't answered and that you still want the answers to, you can always contact JSS if it's more along the professional scope, or you can contact Sayyid directly, and your question will, inshallah, be answered as soon as possible.
Okay. My question is, how do we use social media in a smart way in which it won't affect us in a negative way? I think I touched on this, but very briefly. Obviously, it's a tool, like I said in the beginning, that can be done in a positive way. Two major things that I see that are beautiful. Number one is the propagation of the deen, of course. But again, be careful, right? I mean, not everything that has Imam Ali's name on it is an actual hadith by Imam Ali. You know, it might look like a nice meme. There might be some nice stars and a nice tree on it. But it's not, may not be Imam Ali's hadith. But still, the idea of us sharing and posting and, you know, spreading of the news and keeping us informed of the Muslim Ummah's happenings is a beautiful thing. And that's happening at a beautiful level right now. Many of you use your social media account to make the people aware of Yemen and Bahrain and protests and events. And, you know, even sometimes, you know, you help out individuals by posting, let's say, job openings, right? Sharing events in the city. Even saying, look, guys, I'm coming here. Anybody want to ride? I'm coming, let's say, from Markham and Steeles. Those things are beautiful. The second thing I really saw on social media that was really beautiful is reconnecting with family. Right? It's silat rahim. And you know, we have hadith that says the one who now, you know, strengthens the ties of blood with their family, Allah adds years to their life. The hadith says that if it was written for you that after 3 years you'll leave this world, if you connect with your family at a strong level, Allah makes that 3 into 33 years, hadith says. That's done sometimes through social media, right? We connect with our cousins, let's say, overseas that we normally wouldn't do otherwise. So these are things that you can definitely do positively, but it is, again, it's a very addicting tool to kind of sneak into someone's profile and begin the stalking mode. Please be very careful of that. Right? And please be very careful what you share and what you don't share. It's possible that simply by sharing it, you're also kind of, you know, creating some fitna and some confusion as well. So there are beautiful, beautiful aspects to this tool that we can use, inshallah. If I'm not seeking validation, is it still wrong to post pictures of myself? I mean, if you're asking Shari'i, you know, I yet to see a fatwa from any marja that says it's haram to post pictures on social media. It's not. If you aren't doing it for validation, maybe to share a picture of, you know, your cousin's asking for a latest picture of yourself or a nice pic of you and your mom that, let's say, her sister in Pakistan wants to see, bismillah, that's fine. I mean, again, provided, you know, if you're a muhajjaba sister, you're following hijab, you're making sure no one's in the background. If you're a brother, of course, it's in a decent environment. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But let's make sure that it's not for purposes of validation. Not in a haram sense. I just don't want any of us to put our validation in the hands of somebody else. Right? When the unlimited already validated us. I'm going to say that a few times tonight. So I've answered that question already. One thing that this question mentioned about social media is now social norm, and I get that. It absolutely is. And that's fine. And that's why we're having this discussion. It is a social norm. And, you know, there are people on social media. I mean, now the Maraj are on social media, right? The Hawza Ilmi of Qum is on social media, right? It's now a tool now to spread and to sometimes conquer the you know, the other ideology from spreading its false wings. And that's beautiful. So there's a norm, and it's going to happen, and everybody here uses it, and that's fine, but it's not a matter of yes or no. It's a matter of how do we use it, inshallah. Okay? Okay. So a lot of these questions are redundant, but I did promise that by 11:55 to 12, we'll wrap up, so that's about 9 minutes left. Yeah, so I've addressed those questions. You know, the terms that a lot of you have used in your questions are, you know, addiction. And this is an addiction sometimes for many of us. We may not think it, but it is an addiction. And that's a separate topic altogether. I just want to make sure that all of you understand you don't need to seek validation from others for your own existence. Nobody else can sit there and dictate to you how worthy you are to yourself. Seek that from your creator. Okay? And that's what I'll say in closing. Use the tool for the propagation of the deen. Use the tool to better yourself. Use the tool to strengthen your family ties. Okay? And try to avoid the idea of leaving the idea of self-respect in your hands. Leave your respect in Allah's hands. Okay? He's bound to respect you and find respect for you, provided, of course, you are sincere and khulus to him. Are there any questions in the back that I'm missing?
So in closing, can I have a salawat, please? It looks like we do have more questions. Okay, so we have received some questions that require professional answers from social workers. So please, if your question wasn't answered, we urge you to contact JSS, or if it's more of a Islamic quote-unquote question, to please try and contact Sayyid Jafari. And inshallah, your question will get answered, but we understand that this topic is a very touchy subject and that it's not necessarily always addressed out in the open. So Jafari Support Services, as it has been mentioned, is a very useful tool for everybody to, inshallah, take advantage of, because we are 100% confidential. We will, inshallah, get you the help that you need. And even if we ourselves don't have the resources, we will guide you in the right direction. So we do urge you to please contact us. I think this is one last question to trickling in.
That's an interesting question. Would it be considered halal as a Muslim woman to become an athlete who will be shown over social media, obviously with fame? So I'd like that whoever asked me that question, if you can contact me privately. It's a taqlidi issue, it's a fiqhi issue. The maraji have different fatawi on this. I need to find out a little bit more details about who you do taqlid to. There are some conditions, of course, there, but of course that's not, those are not conditions that are agreed by all. So if you can, whoever you are, if you can please make sure that you get my email address and send me this over email, please, inshallah. Thank you.
No, we don't. Thank you to everybody for staying, inshallah. I know it's late, and we do appreciate you coming out to the event. If nothing else, we do hope this at least sparks a conversation, sort of gets your brain thinking about these issues. If you do know of anybody around you, or if you yourself are suffering, you don't need to suffer in silence, as we've already mentioned. All of the JSS information is on the screen, if you'd want to take that down.
Sorry, I just want to add one.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm,
I'm so sorry. I just want to add. One point here. So sorry. I know it's late, and you must be tired of hearing my voice. I'm so sorry. When I talked about that hadith by the Holy Prophet, that he says there'll come a time where, individuals that were considered or acts that were considered to be virtuous become vicious, and vice versa. You know, we live in an era, like I said, of the glamorization of sin. What social media has done, you know, in a negative sense, is that it's given us a little bit of a false confidence to sometimes even display our sins to the public. Whereas before, you know, we used to, you know, I mean, I'm not saying those sins wouldn't be committed. The sins were committed, but they were committed behind closed doors. Now, the same sin is being recorded or captured by a selfie, and the same sin, of course, is plastered, of course, either on YouTube as a link or, of course, on our social media. That obviously is a problem, right? I mean, what you're doing now is that you're kind of giving a little bit of a little bit of a push for those who may think that's not a big idea if I do this. I mean, they've done it, they're doing it. It's quite common now. Let's go ahead and do it, right? Like these wedding videos and like other things that right now, you know, are plastered. I mean, a wedding video is a very private video between you and your spouse and the families, right? And so if you decide, you know, to commit certain acts during the wedding process, and you want to keep that behind closed doors, that's between you and God, right? I don't want to see that, and you shouldn't plaster it on social media with pride that look at the amount of sin that I've done. That now gives courage to others who watch it, and number one, they'll say, wow, I'm not that bad. So right away, they minimize their sin. That's why confession in Islam is haram. We don't believe in confession at all. Because what confession does is it gives the person that you're confessing to a little bit of a window to say, whew, I thought I was bad, but this guy's messed up. And you minimize the sin that you do. And when you minimize the sin, Imam Ali says, in your eyes, Allah maximizes that sin in his eyes. Okay? So please be careful, I ask you. If you're not worried about your relationship with Allah, then keep that behind closed doors. Don't make that a trigger for an impressionable 16-year-old to now go on and commit the same sin, because now it's norm to do that. Okay? Sorry. Thank you.
Okay, so again, thank you everybody for staying. Again, we understand it's late. Thank you, Sayyid Jafri, for staying. I'm sure you're tired as well. We all do appreciate the fact that we could have this discussion tonight. And so before we go, inshallah, can I have a loud salawat?